Christmas is a wonderful time of year. A tradition in our household on Christmas Day is to read the Christmas story. And we often have, you know, a lot of things that are a part of Christmas, things like a Christmas tree. We often give each other presents, and usually there's lots of food or snacks, which all of these things are great. And even better yet is spending time with family and friends. But the best of all, the best thing of all is remembering that Jesus Christ came to live among us and ultimately gave his life for us. This morning I will be talking some more about God with us. Remember, I started talking about this topic last week, and I will be talking more on it with the theme of God with us. And let's read from our scripture this morning. I'll be reading out of Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, last week we saw that God with us is easy and exciting when we are on the mountaintops of life, when things seem to be going really well. But we experience God with us differently in the valleys. The difficult times of life, those are the valleys. And we experience the Lord's strengthening when we have nothing left. In our times of crisis, we rely more and more on the Lord, which in turn builds our relationship with God and also strengthens our faith. Look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, for instance. She followed God and followed the laws of Moses her whole life. God used this ordinary girl to do something extraordinary. Not because she was more worthy, but that is how God works. He doesn't call the qualified. No, he qualifies those he calls. And when we are in tune with the Lord, when we are serving the Lord with an attitude of, "Here I am, use me," God will use you. There is nothing too big or too small, because everyone is needed and everyone is important to the Lord. But even as a servant of Christ, we have moments of difficulties. Like last week, we saw the valley moments may not be pleasant, but they are important when they move us toward Christ and build our faith. This week, I'll be looking at some other difficult times. Call them valleys or call them storms if you wish, but for today, I'm going to call them wilderness experiences. However you want to look at them, they are the tough times that push us to depend on God, and we should consider them gifts. Yeah, I know that's easier said than done, to consider hard times gifts. And like I said last week, I don't like them. I don't like the difficult times, and to be very honest, when I look back at some of the hardships, difficult times that I've had in the past, it's usually several years after that those hardships pass before I truly see those wilderness experiences as gifts. But it's when we get to a point where we stop trying so hard to do something ourselves and depend more fully on God, those are gifts. gifts because it is in the Lord's strength, it is in the Lord's care that we truly grow more in Him. And it's in the Lord's provision that we grow to rely on Him more and more and more. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, as they wandered, God provided manna to eat. Each day, God gave them what they needed at the time that they needed it. Did the Israelites know that the manna was a gift? Sure they did at first. Sure they saw it as a gift. But what about 40 years later? They've been eating manna for 40 years. Are they still seeing manna as a gift? Do you ever think about that? But whether they saw it as a gift or not, it was a gift. They trusted the Lord daily for it. They had to. They trusted Him daily. And we may not have manna, but we need to get to that same type of trust, where we trust Him daily as well. The Israelites were freed from Egypt, and even though they did a bunch of dumb things at first, which really kind of got them to that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God did some pretty awesome things in spite of what they did. And there may be times that we do things, that we make choices that don't go as planned, where we end up wandering in our wilderness, and our wilderness is because of the decisions we've made. Whether our wilderness time is because of something we did or because of something that was out of our control, we still can depend on God. That's the important part. Because God not only loves us, and God is not only patient with us when we do fail, He is also always with us. Another interesting thing about wilderness times is that they often follow mountaintop experiences. There is a high point. Everything seems to be going really well, and then it falls into pain and hardship. Look at Mary, a servant of God, and we're told that God found favor in Mary. It's always a good time to read about the Christmas story, especially at Christmas, and we see that God found favor with Mary. But being the mother of Jesus was not easy, and it was not without hardships. And if you remember from last week, one of the immediate hardships was that Joseph almost left her. Joseph almost divorced her. And then imagine the gossip that would have taken place when she was with child before being married to Joseph. We know how people are, especially in that small community where they were from. The people would have talked. And we do see that Mary did leave for a while and spent time with her older cousin Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. But another hardship is that she ended up traveling a long distance to Bethlehem while 9 months pregnant. I can't say a whole lot here about that. But those of you here that can know from experience of what 9 months along means to have to travel a long distance, whether walking or riding on a donkey, either way is not going to be pleasant. And then it would be there after getting to Bethlehem that she would give birth to Jesus. And then after giving birth to Jesus, then she's going to have to flee with her family as King Herod was seeking to kill Jesus. Did Mary really know this was going to be her life when she told the angel Gabriel in Luke 1:38 when she said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Did she know what lay ahead when she said yes to God? She would later have to see her son killed in the most horrific way on a cross. She didn't know the specifics when she said yes to God. You see, when we say yes to God, we are saying yes to everything because we know that God will be with us even when we do not know what's coming over the horizon. We say yes to God because we know that He will be with us. Turn with me to 1 Kings. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about a prophet named Elijah. Elijah first appears in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, we're not going to read from there, but I'm just going to do just kind of tell you a little bit about him over the course of two chapters, and then we'll read out of chapter 19. But in chapter 7, we see here that Elijah prophesied that there will be no rain in the land for many years, and there will be a famine. And sure enough, there was a famine. The land dried up. And the king at that time was King Ahab. And his wife, she was Jezebel. And you see, they were very angry about what was happening in the land. And they went and hunted out all the prophets of God, including Elijah. They were seeking to kill them. And all their efforts, they did not find Elijah. God protected him. We also see that Elijah is fed by ravens daily with bread and meat. And later we see that Elijah stays with a widow who was very poor. And when Elijah meets her, she only had enough flour and oil to make enough bread for her and her son. That's all they had. But when Elijah stays with them, the flour and the oil never run out, and there is bread prepared daily. The widow's son then dies, and Elijah prays, and God brings the boy back to life. And then in chapter 18, Elijah goes before the evil King Ahab and confronts him about their idol worship. And there, Elijah, he challenges King Ahab to bring his prophets of Baal and prophets of Asherah to have kind of like a little duel or a face-off. And there was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And they were going to do this on top of Mount Carmel. And there they would see who is truly God. You see, this is a mountaintop experience for Elijah. 450 prophets of Baal. And Scripture doesn't tell us if the other 400 prophets of Asherah showed up, but I'll just say that they did. And God answers. God answers Elijah's prayer when Elijah asks for a fire to be poured out on this sacrifice. And God answers in a mighty way. And the fire poured down in an awesome way. And Elijah then, he kills all the prophets that were there. And there was a great victory. And if all the prophets had showed up, there would be almost 850 prophets. It's an amazing victory. And then Elijah, he later prophesies of the returning rain that will come to the land, and the famine in the land will end. And we see these last two chapters, 17 and 18, we see the things that are going really good. We see that things are going great. God shows up. There's victory over and over. Elijah sees multiple miracles. And then we get to chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life." After seeing everything that God did, there were years of protection and provision. Elijah saw such tremendous victory on the mountain, yet it took one threat from a bitter woman to bring the life of this mighty man of God into a state of hopelessness. Elijah, he falls apart. We read that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Where did he go? He went into the wilderness, alone, afraid, and tired. And it's there that he finds a broom tree, and he sits down under it. He sits down and he prays an honest prayer. And he says the words that many people, maybe even several in here, can probably relate to. He says, "I have had enough." "I have had enough, Lord. I'm done. Maybe for you it was in reference to something else. Maybe for you it was, I'm done with church. Maybe it was, I'm done with religion. Or maybe it was, I'm done with work. Or I'm done with school. Maybe for others it's, I'm done with family. I'm tired of family issues. I'm done with family. Maybe you've even said, I'm done with life. I'm just done." You know, we may have seen God do great things. Maybe we've seen God do great things around us, or maybe even through us. But we get to a tipping point where we have had enough. We know God is real. We know that God is with us, yet we come to a wilderness experience where we've just had enough. We're tired. But not just physically tired, because if we were physically tired, we could just simply go to sleep. We could take a nap and we could wake up and things would be all better. But that's not the kind of tired that I'm talking about. It's emotionally tired. It's spiritually tired. Let's read on and look a little more at Elijah. Verses 5 through 6. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. What we see here is that God, who is with Elijah, didn't stand over him giving him a lecture. God didn't preach a sermon at Elijah. God didn't rebuke him either. He didn't stand over him pointing his finger at Elijah and say, "Where is your faith?" We don't see that. What do we see God doing? We see God allowing him to get rest, and God provided nourishment. And in all seriousness, sometimes taking care of yourself, getting rest and nourishment, may be the most spiritual thing you can do during a difficult time of life. That's important, so I'm going to repeat that. Sometimes taking care of yourself, getting rest and nourishment, may be the most spiritual thing you can do during a difficult time of life. And if you're in that difficult time, are you taking care of yourself? I'd like to read on here. Verses 7 through 8. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. We see the love of God in this story. God knows us. God knows Elijah. God cares for us, and God cared for Elijah. Elijah was not in any condition to continue on without first taking care of his own physical health. Though we might wonder, what was Elijah's problem? God was doing great things, then Elijah seems to snap. But if it's anything that we can, when we look at Scripture, we see things that happen in Scripture. We know that a lot of times when things happen there, we know we often act in similar ways. We can probably say that we may often be just like Elijah here. But it was in the wilderness experience that Elijah was driven to depend on God. It was there in the wilderness that God shows his patience and love. God didn't leave Elijah. God didn't stop caring for him. God was with him, even though Elijah seemed to fall apart. But God with us not only guides and directs us, he also gives us peace and restoration in our time of need. One of the more famous psalms is the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to read the first three verses here. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." God with us. restores us. I don't know about you, but there are days that life can be crazy. But God, who is with us, restores us when we are depleted. Let's read another psalm, Psalm 34. I'll be reading verses 17 through 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is with us in the good and bad times. But when we are driven to depend on God more, we have to see it as a gift. Now, there's more to the story of Elijah as we look at what happens after that time of rest. What does Elijah do after he receives that time of rest and nourishment? He gets up and he continues to journey closer to the Lord. He may have been tired, but he doesn't quit. He keeps moving closer to the Lord. Can the same be said for you? Sometimes it's really easy to just stay in that position in the wilderness. To stay in that spot where we're sitting down and we're saying, I've had enough. Sometimes it's easy just to remain there. But we got to get up and we have to keep moving. We might be tired, but we have to continue to draw closer to the Lord. This probably isn't a message that you would expect on Christmas. But is this not a message of good news, of great joy? Is this not a message that brings hope to the hopeless? God with us, Christ with us, is not just for that time when he was born. But God with us is really and truly just as much for the now and the future. He is here now. And when our wilderness experiences help us to see him with us more clearly, and when our wilderness experiences help us to depend on him more, then we have to see the wilderness experiences as gifts. And for me, knowing these truths, knowing what we've read about today in the life of Elijah, knowing that Christ with us is always here with us, to know these truths, I have to get to the position where I'm saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, for never leaving me nor forsaking me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me always. Thank you, Lord, for those times that force me to depend on you. And I know that you will always be there. Thank you, Lord.